Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Whitewash the Story of a Weed Killer Cancer. And the Corruption of Science by Carrie Gillam is an investigative nonfiction book about glyphosate, the active ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, and the larger system that allowed it to become one of the most widely used chemicals in modern agriculture. Written by an experienced journalist, the book examines how corporate influence, regulatory weakness, and selective science shaped public understanding of the product's risks. Rather than treating the issue as a simple dispute over one pesticide, Gillam presents it as a case study in how scientific evidence can be managed, disputed, and obscured when powerful commercial interests are at stake. The book combines reporting on farm families, scientific controversy, and policy failures to argue that the public was not given a fully transparent picture of glyphosate's potential health effects, especially its connection to cancer concerns and environmental exposure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how glyphosate became a symbol of industrial agriculture. Gillam uses glyphosate and Roundup to explain how a single herbicide became embedded in farming, landscaping, and household use across the United States and beyond. The book shows that its success was not only about weed control, but also about the rise of herbicide-tolerant genetically engineered crops, which encouraged repeated and expanded spraying. This matters because the chemical is presented less as an isolated product and more as part of a production model that depends on chemical convenience, monoculture, and large-scale industrial efficiency. By tracing that wider context, the book helps readers see why concerns about glyphosate are inseparable from broader questions about modern agriculture, dependency on agrochemicals, and the long-term costs of treating a weed killer as a foundational tool rather than a limited intervention. Secondly, corporate influence on science and public messaging. A central theme in the book is the argument that Monsanto and allied interests work to shape not only the market for glyphosate, but also the scientific and public narrative around it. Gillam describes tactics such as ghostwriting, strategic public relations, and pressure on researchers whose findings were unfavorable to industry claims. The point is not simply that companies defended their products, but that they helped manage the production and interpretation of evidence in ways that made risk appear more uncertain than it may have been. This dimension of the book is important because it shifts the discussion from toxicity alone to the integrity of knowledge itself. Whitewash asks readers to consider how scientific debate can be distorted when corporate communication, sponsored research, and reputational attacks become part of the evidence landscape. In that sense, the book is as much about control of information as it is about chemical safety. Thirdly, regulatory failure and the limits of oversight. The book argues that public agencies did not act as fully independent safeguards against industry power. Gillam examines how regulators, including the EPA and agricultural authorities, relied heavily on industry-supported data while giving less weight to independent studies and public concern. She presents this as a structural problem, not just a series of isolated mistakes. Agencies may become dependent on the very companies they are supposed to regulate, especially when they lack resources, defer to legacy assumptions, or prioritize approval over precaution. Whitewash is strongest when it shows that regulatory approval can create a false sense of safety, even when evidence remains contested. This makes the book relevant beyond glyphosate, because it illustrates how weak oversight can normalize risk across an entire food system. Readers come away with a clearer understanding that regulation is not automatically equivalent to protection, and that the burden of proof often falls unevenly on scientists, journalists, and affected communities rather than on the companies benefiting from the chemical. Fourthly, cancer narratives and the human cost of exposure. Gillam grounds the larger policy debate in the experiences of people who believe glyphosate exposure contributed to their cancers, especially farm families and agricultural workers. These accounts are not used as isolated anecdotes. They function as evidence of how scientific uncertainty is lived by real people who have limited ability to avoid exposure. By including these stories, the book connects abstract toxicology and regulatory debate to bodily harm, fear, and the difficulty of proving causation in environmental health cases. The human dimension matters because it reveals how exposure risk is distributed unevenly, often affecting workers and rural communities before it becomes visible to consumers. Whitewash does not claim that every cancer case has a simple single cause, but it argues that the pattern of concern is serious enough to warrant more caution, transparency, and public accountability. This focus on lived consequences gives the book emotional force while also reinforcing its investigative purpose. Lastly, why the book calls for transparency and agricultural reform, Whitewash, ultimately argues for a different standard in the governance of pesticides and food production. Gillam does not present transparency as a vague ideal. She treats it as a practical requirement for public trust, meaningful regulation, and informed consumer choice. The book supports stronger residue testing, better disclosure, and more serious attention to independent research, while also encouraging readers to think about alternatives such as organic and sustainable agriculture. Its reform agenda is significant because it links science to policy and policy to everyday food systems. Rather than framing the issue as a debate that can be settled by marketing, the book insists that long-term safety requires institutional change. This is what gives whitewash its larger importance. It is not only a critique of one chemical or one company, but a broader argument that public health, environmental protection, and scientific credibility need to be placed ahead of short-term corporate advantage. In conclusion, whitewash is best suited for readers who want a serious, source-driven investigation of pesticide risk, corporate influence, and regulatory breakdown. It will be especially useful to people interested in environmental health, journalism, agriculture, public policy, and the politics of science. The book offers practical value by helping readers understand how chemical safety claims are constructed, how regulatory systems can be captured or weakened, and why scientific controversy often persists even when public messaging sounds definitive. It also has intellectual value for anyone studying how corporations influence research and how public institutions can fail to protect consumers and workers. What makes the book stand out from many similar exposés is its combination of detailed reporting, policy critique, and human impact. Gillum does not rely only on alarm or general suspicion. She builds her case through documented controversies, institutional analysis, and the lived experience of exposed communities. That balance makes the book more than a critique of one herbicide. It is a broader examination of how modern food systems manage risk, shape evidence, and define what counts as acceptable harm. If you would like to support Kerry Gillum, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.